Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you his disciple? Test his word and see. He will give his spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. For his matchless favor, magnify the name of our gracious Savior, who from glory came. Let the saints adore him for this wondrous word, sealing our redemption through the crimson blood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. Come to him believing, hearken to his call, all from him receiving, yield to him your all. Jesus will accept you when to him you flee. He will grant this blessing more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And it's good to be saved, isn't it? And serving the Lord. Samuel's feeling a bit better. He lost his taste and smell and everything like that. And but he is feeling a bit better. So we thank the Lord for that. Keep us in prayer for tomorrow night. I'm going to preach at Seskinore Pentecostal Assembly. It's heading towards Oma direction tomorrow night. Anyone that would want to go and support, we're meeting at the car park near Vane Valley on Bonbridge, parking ride in Bonbridge. A 6:15. But if you can't go, pray for us that the Lord will just bless the meeting. Praise God. We want to continue on tonight from what I've been talking about, compromise in Egypt. And there's so many things that can be said, but just praying the Lord will help us to say the right thing at the right time. Let's read from Exodus, just for a text. Let's read chapter 5 and verse 1 again. Then I maybe read a verse from chapter 8 as well. Yes, we're going to read a verse from chapter 8 as well. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Then in chapter 8 and verse 28. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat the Lord for me." Let's bow our heads again tonight. If you have a need, just slip your hand up before the Lord. We'll pray for you tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each one of us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will wash us and sanctify us with your blood and with the washing of the water of your word tonight. May the Holy Spirit come in this room. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do take the Holy Spirit afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that you do undertake for me. I pray, Lord, for every hand that's raised, you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we see how the enemy would put his head up, would try to put affliction on your people. We rebuke every work of the devil tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke the spirit of infirmity and spirit of fear and anxiety. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we speak health and strength upon your people. By your wounds, your stripes, we were healed. Father, bless those that couldn't be here, as our brothers mentioned and prayed for, and give Gary and Ruth and the family traveling mercies. Keep them safe. Watch over them. Continue to touch souls that our brothers already prayed tonight. And Lord, for the hands raised, meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, tonight, bless and strengthen everyone in this house and those that would hear your word. Touch them, do them good, and have them, give them a strength to conquer the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Deliverance, we know that we are looking deliverance in our day, in our time. And the ultimate deliverance, and the thing my dad always said, he said, for any right-thinking man, the hope is the coming of the Lord. And our ultimate deliverance from this world will be the coming of the Lord. The enemy's against us, and just like here in Egypt, after the flies, after the locusts, and those 10 different plagues that God brought upon the people of Egypt through Moses, Pharaoh, but Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, and the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So we think sometimes why it hasn't happened. Well, it was God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. And we would think after the first plague he should let them go, and he should have, but God hardened his heart. Because God really wanted a second Pharaoh, but right. And he really wanted to give the children of Israel the biggest deliverance he could have been right. So he was working on both sides. And just like we saw with Daniel and we saw with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, God kept his people. It looked like it wasn't going to happen, but it did happen. And then he dealt with our enemies. Now we're looking for deliverance in our day, and Satan will not let us go. He doesn't want to let us go. But there is a people on the face of this earth, and they're going to be took. And the enemy won't be fit to hold them, for the Lord's going to take them. But many of us as loved ones tonight, the devil's holding on to, and he doesn't want to let them go. That's his strategy. He doesn't want to see them getting saved. He doesn't want to see the hand of God coming on them. And you know, we need to get out of here. There's great troubles coming. And our resolve must be greater than Satan's. It must be greater. And Moses didn't give an inch to Pharaoh. Even though all these things happened, Moses held on. And he never gave an inch. Now I want for a few moments tonight to rehearse back over who the devil is, what he done, and what God done to him, and what's coming for him. Because he's a liar. And his job to deceive, and he'll go in the mouths of so-called preachers to preach deceivable messages. And he's used all sorts of things, and he still does it today. Now, before God began the creation of the universe, mankind, he created a host of angels. And one of them angels was Lucifer, who was entrusted with a high place of honor in the angelic world. And Lucifer was a personality, a great power, but he rebelled against God. And we read here, if you go to Isaiah 14, verse 13, 14, and I'm going to try and make myself read slower if I can. Get excited sometimes and it's hard to do it, but you pray for me, the Lord will help us. Amen. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Now pause for a moment. When you read of the stars of God, When you go to Revelations and you know seven stars on the hand of Jesus, so you know by that reference, that's talking about angels. So he says he will exalt himself above the stars of God. He will be the head angel. He wanted to be higher than any of the other angels. He didn't want any single angel to be higher than him, but he wanted to be higher than all the other angels. And the ambitions that he had then, he still has tonight. And you know, people that's full of pride, that comes from Satan, not from God. And he wanted to be above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So he wants to be like God. He wants to be above the very clouds, above the angels. Wants to be like the Most High. Now you remember, William Branham said a powerful thing. When people talk about the devil healing people and making miracles happen and all them things, you remember that a prophet of God said that the devil is not a creator. He is a created being. Therefore, he cannot create something. He can only do what God permits him. But it is the Lord God Almighty that's the creator, not the devil. But the devil deceives people. He's a deformer, not a transformer. He deceives people. The Bible refers to Lucifer more than 50 times as Satan in the New Testament. In about 33 instances, he is named as the devil. He is also identified as a serpent. And he appeared to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in that form of the serpent. Now we know that Satan possessed the serpent in the garden to get to Adam and Eve. And we know that he talked with Eve, he had a conversation with Eve, and he beguiled her, he deceived her. She listened to his lying words, and he told her, "Hath God said?" And she knew what God said, but he told her something different, and she believed it. And she fell. Then Adam willfully took Eve, knowing what happened, because he's the type of Christ. And when you come to Romans, it said sin entered into the world by one man. Because the man took the woman, knowing what she'd done. But the woman was deceived by the serpent, not Adam. But Adam took the woman, knowing what she'd done. But it was the devil that started it. And even before he was down in the garden, he was at his work. He was in rebellion right before anything. Look, you can read Genesis 3, verse 14, 15. Just let's read it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And a woman doesn't have a seed, so she had to receive one. Amen. "And I will bruise thy head, and he shall bruise thy heel." And we know that ultimately that seed of the woman was Christ. And his heel was bruised, his head was bruised, and Christ's heel was bruised. He trampled him on the cross. Now, 14 times in the book of Revelation, it calls Satan the dragon. And from these references, we know that Satan and his demons are responsible for evil in the world, and that evil began when he tempted Eve in the garden. That's when evil began. That's when it all started. Now you really think of this, and this is important. This is a truth that a lot of churches skip over it, and they try and tell children and adults as well, "Eve ate an apple." Well, we know that's lies. She never ate an apple. There was an act took place in the garden because the devil himself came into that garden. I'm going to prove you tonight from one verse in this Bible. And he possessed that serpent to get to that woman. And I tell you, the whole thing's hybrid. Right from there. And that's where giants come from. I know people preach angels come down and press themselves into human bodies and all that. That's false teaching. For them to do that, they would have to be creators. They're not. God's a creator. But there was a way it had originally happened, but God stopped it. so that it could never take place again. God stopped it. And you read that. God put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. Could never happen again. And you know, even to this day, it can't mix. It can't mix it. And I tell you, God always has the original. Amen? But you see, by luring them and sinning against God by disobedience and listening to the serpent, that's who they listen to. Now, the serpent has never given up. This devil has never given up on his ambition. He still wants to deceive God's people. And he has a room. Brother Brian preached about it one time. He's here. I don't know all the details of it. It was a great sermon. But Brother Brian talked about it where they had a conference room with the demons. And they have a conference, and they have certain devils specifically assigned to different Christians to pull you down. And any weakness you have, the devil will work on it. But I want to tell you tonight, God's give you and me an armor. And Ephesians says we're to put on the full armor of God. Amen. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation to quench. And also talks about quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. And we need the truth of God in this day more than ever. And we're living in a day like in Samuel's time, for the light had almost gone out. But God raised up Samuel, and not one word fell to the ground. And God has given us the truth in this generation. And we need a hold of that truth that he's given us. And there's a lot of things around it to put us off it. But we need a hold of the truth. And we don't need to get extreme either way. Stay right in the middle of the road and preach the truth. Amen. Let me read you from Ezekiel 28 verse 8. Ezekiel 28 verse 8. Then we're going to read verse 12 to 19. I'll try and read it. And you follow along. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Where has he been? In Eden, the garden of God. And every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the pearl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. This is Satan himself. He's the most beautiful angelic being you'll ever see. The picture of a black being with big horns is nonsense. The devil's an absolute beauty. And he was a leader of the music. The pipes and all the different things. The Bible lists them. You can study it more on these specific things. And that's why today in churches, hear me this evening, there's real worship. And then there is a worship that's crept in from Egypt. Amen? And I'm calling it compromised worship in Egypt. It's crept in. And it's crept into churches. And they're darkening the rooms and the flashing lights. And I tell you, that's not the way it should be. But there's a real worship. There's a real praise of the Lord. And we want to have the real thing, not compromise. Amen? Real worship. But here's where it all started. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. See this? Iniquity found in him. Perfect till iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I shall devour thee. I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a tower, and never shalt thou be any more. God is going to deal with the enemy. And this enemy has to be dealt with. God's already been kicked out. And there's a scripture says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil's come down, having a short time to go. Now remember this here. Remember that William Branham, when he preached the seven seals, said this tremendous thing. He said, when the seals come off the book, there's more devils loose in this age than any other age. And he says, this is the age where people will go mentally insane. And we're seeing people today and going mentally insane. Suicides on the increase. And all them type of things that never was in any other age, like it's in this age. We're in the last days. This is the last church age. The Lord's coming. And God's almost finished up with the Gentiles, and he's going to turn to the Jews, and he's going to save his Jewish people. And I tell you, the thing we need to get out of here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the thing, but the Holy Spirit's the thing that's not preached so much. The seal of God's not preached. The seal of God's not emphasized no more like it used to be. The emphasis where people preach, it's never talked about, it's never preached about. And the gifts of the Spirit's almost done away with because we're in the end time. But God has said he will have a people. And I believe the Lord tonight, do you believe the Lord tonight, that he will have a people? Now we can clearly see that Satan was in the Garden of Eden because of what he'd done. And he will utterly face judgment and be tormented. Revelation 20 and verse 10 tells us this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I tell you, this man that's going to raise up is going to be empowered with the devil, this Antichrist. And there is Antichrist today, and we know there's an Antichrist sitting on Simon Hills tonight. I preached about it. And I know there's religious people that are looking for him here, there, and everywhere. But all you have to do is put the evidence together and see here Spurgeon said, if you give the book of Revelations to the lawyer, he will convict the Pope to be the Antichrist. He says the evidence strongly points to them. And he's in the place of God. Do you realize they're going to make a pact with Israel? And they're going to go into a peace treaty? Do you realize that? And they're all going to unite under one umbrella, and they're going to make a pact with Israel, and they're going to go into a peace treaty, but it's going to be false. And they're going to break that in the midst of the week, the Bible tells us, and the Jewish people will cry to the God of Abraham, and God's going to deliver them. And you know that Moses and Elijah is going to go down and seal them with the same Holy Ghost seal that the church got sealed with. Because there's no two Holy Spirits, there's only one. So it has to be the same baptism they're going to get. That's the seal of God. And they can't seal him with something different. It has to be the same thing. And they're going to kill Moses and Elijah. And the bodies are going to lay in the streets. And the world will watch it. So from some sort of satellite television or some way, they're going to be able to see it all over the world. And the Spirit of God's going to move in them two prophets. And they're going to be raised up from the dead. And I'll guarantee it's going to scare the life right out of them. Now, I can't go too much into tonight. I need to take the vows. Them vows to get into it. But when you study the vows and you study the 10 plagues that come in Egypt, it's a prefiguring of the vows. When you study them 10 plagues coming in Egypt, it gives you a picture of what the vows, the outpouring of God's wrath, going to be like. But the bride of Jesus Christ won't be going through the tribulation. She is raptured. She's called away to be with the Lord. She's taken away home to be with the Lord. And tribulation setting in. Judgment setting in. But I tell you, you see also not only Satan himself, but all the angels that followed him, they're going to be judged. And some of them are being judged. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now a lot of people say that depressed into people, that's why God did it. That's a misinterpretation of scripture. God judged them because they followed the devil. That's why they were judged. They followed the devil. And they left what they had and followed the devil. And that should be no surprise. Because people can sit under the truth and leave it and go to sit under someone that's not very much truth in it. And we've all seen it. I know pastors said, there's people got up and left. They sat for years or part of the fellowship. Up and left. They went somewhere else. And where they went till they were shocked they done it. And these angels followed the devil. But they cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So you know there's devils even now in chains of darkness. Reserved unto judgment. Now you know Satan is a master strategist. That's what he is. He's a master strategist. And his vast experience over the ages with the human race and with the human nature. And he knows every tactic and everything. And he wants to pull us down. He knows man's weakness, his vulnerability. And he continually works on us, uses reasoning and very plausible arguments. And that's the exact same way he worked with Eve. But we cannot compromise the word of God. And somebody might say to us, it's not really important if you could baptize in three titles. Well, we know the Bible doesn't do it like that. And if the Bible doesn't do it like that, it must be important not to do it like that. And there's not three different people in the Godhead either. Here, O Israel, the Lord thy God's one Lord. There's three offices, but one God. And I tell you something, when you're looking at Jesus, you're not just looking at a man. He was God in flesh. Psalm 9 and 6 tells us that. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? He's more than a man. And all these religions today, but he wants to deceive us every way he can. But the Bible warns us. Let's look at this warning tonight. And we're going to come and pray in a moment. Let's look at this warning. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 to 4. Now, before I read this, I want to tell you, there's people around some groups and they always want some big revelation, some new thing. But they sometimes go on such a limb that they start off with the truth and they venture out till it's no longer under the word of God. It's their own thinking. And here's what the Bible warns us. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He had a false conversation with Eve, the serpent did. Big talk with her. Now God already said, here's the trees, but you see this tree here, don't touch it. You're not even allowed to touch it. Didn't God say don't touch it? Don't partake of it, don't touch it. But the serpent comes and says, hath God said? Does it really matter how you're baptized? Does it really matter that you can't do this, you can't do that? Is it really important? Well, it's so important that out of hundreds of different writers of this Bible, you all come together in one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so is the word of the Lord. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. Verse 4, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. If he comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. And then you have big names that go round and they preach, we no longer need the blood of Jesus. We have moved on. And splits fellowships. And not only splits fellowships with many people from different parts of the world, start to listen to that false teaching, false doctrine. When you and me know that the Lamb's slain from the foundation of the world, and we will lead the blood of Jesus Christ right through to heaven. And you could never even go to heaven without the blood. You say, brother, I don't believe that. All right, well, they were in Solomon's bosom and they were staying there. But when Jesus' blood was sacrificed to come out of it, and some boy comes along and says, the blood's now turned to word. The blood has turned to word. Now I'll tell you something, we have the word. And that word bled in the sense Jesus was the word and he bled. But his blood is called the priceless blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. You see, it starts with a bit of a truth, but it goes extreme. And it runs off. Because you can't follow that through the rest of the Bible. Because when you get over into Revelations, and there's a crowd that comes out of great tribulation, and he says, who are these robed in white, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Could never have come out only for the blood of the Lamb. But that doctrine doesn't allow you to do that. For if that cometh, listen, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, so they come and tell you there's a Holy Spirit and there's the Holy Spirit, so they're preaching two Holy Spirits. Well, then you know that something's went wrong, because there's only one Holy Spirit. Amen? Which ye have not received, or another gospel. And when people say, I don't care what truth they have, but when they're saying there's no salvation outside of the message. Now, brothers and sisters, tonight, our salvation's in Jesus Christ. He is the message. There's no other thing that can come to take his place that you believe in to be saved. If you believe that there's someone else coming, I don't care how it's vindicated, and if it's even a genuine prophet God uses, you cannot say you believe that to be saved. You're saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. That's how you're saved. There is salvation in no other name, only the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Didn't God's prophet William Branham say, I can't save you, I can't heal you? He's already done all that at the cross. You have to believe it. Amen. So you know that's the enemy preaching different. That's another spirit. If you received another gospel, but you've not accepted, you might well bear with them. Amen. And I'm going to have to close. Let's come tonight and let's pray. And the time's went quick this evening. God bless you. Aren't you glad for the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now here's something about it. You know, when I said this years ago, and I'm telling you, the night I was wrong. And a man told me it, and I started saying it, and I was wrong. You need to forget everything you've learned. But if you have something that is the truth, you should never forget it. Because it always will be the truth. Amen. The truth is always the truth. It can't be improved on because it's the truth. It's just like God can't bring us some other way that's better than the way that he's already brought it. Because it's perfect. There's no other way. The original gospel's the way. And Christ sealed it and paid for it with his own precious blood on the cross. And he's coming, brothers and sisters, again. Let's not compromise in Egypt. But let's press on with God. And if enemies attacking you, yield to the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord. He will direct your path. Resist the devil. How can you resist the devil? By committing your ways to the Lord. But if you don't commit your ways to the Lord, you will never be fit to resist the devil. But when you commit and acknowledge your ways to the Lord, you can resist the devil. And he'll flee. May he flee. Amen. Let's come and let's pray tonight, and keep me in prayer as well, and the Lord bless you. For Sunday, pray for Brother John's going to be preaching Sunday morning, and then myself in the evening. Pray for all the meetings that the Lord will have a win. Keep praying. We get a hall of our own. That it's our own hall. That we can have a week of meetings. We can have whatever we want to do. What God leads us, we're able to do it. Amen. Let's come before the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth that you've showed toward each one of us. Help us not to compromise, Lord, in Egypt, type of the world. But Lord, we thank you brought us out into Christ. You've said, come out, come in. And you're going to say, come up hither. And the bride says, come hither. Thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. We're going to go to be with you. We're leaving this world behind, but I pray while we're here that you'll help us to be your hands and your feet, your voice. Help us, empower us, fill us, anoint us. Come upon us with the Holy Spirit. Come upon your people with the Holy Spirit. Fill them and do them good, I pray. Bless the meetings that lay ahead. Bless Brother John for Sunday. Help us for tomorrow night, for Sunday night. All that we plan to do and hope to do, we commit it all to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'll help us and be with us and fill us with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, if there's anyone listening in that needs deliverance, may the power of God deliver them. May they be set free. May they be healed and saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord this evening. Praise God.